ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, and welcome to ShareCare Radio. I'm Dr. Daria. So we're going to just dive right into the latest health news of the week and the things I really want you to know about. First is that there has been another outbreak in California, this time with 9 children having confirmed cases of the measles. Since 9 of the kids live in different parts of the California and Utah, it's believed that they likely contracted the measles on trips last month to Disney theme parks in California. Now, of the 7 Californians that got measles, 6 were not vaccinated, 2 of those because they were just too young to have gotten the vaccine in the first place. So it does seem that a major contributor to the epidemic is that the fact that 4 of the children infected had not gotten their vaccinations according to schedule, getting themselves sick, as well as the 2 little children who were just too young to get vaccinated and were relying on others around them for protection. Dr. Ron Chapman, director of the state's Department of Public Health, urged anyone who may have been exposed to check with their doctor. Now remember, measles is highly contagious as a virus, and it lives in an infected person's nose and throat mucus and spreads through coughing and sneezing. Symptoms include fever, cough, runny nose, and red eyes, and a rash that usually appears first on the face and then spreads to the rest of the body. So again, if anybody thinks that they may have contracted or may have been exposed to it by being in one of those theme parks, it'd be important to check with their doctor, and another reminder of the importance of keeping up with vaccine schedules. Moving on to another study is one that came out lately, and it said that, you know, you've probably heard a lot about sitting and how being sedentary is very bad for your health, associated with worse health, adverse health outcomes, including early death. So there's a new study that showed that even if you exercise regularly, it doesn't counteract fully the effect of being sedentary all day. Now that study pooled 41 different studies, and researchers found that long periods of sitting time were associated with even death and other conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. Now, these are researchers from both Toronto and Australia, and they define sedentary behavior as sitting, watching TV, or lying down. Remember, these studies are still early, and most of the data was self-reported. They only looked at one measure of being sedentary, and it can only show an association. But with more and more research, we're getting a really similar message, and that it's safe to say that it behooves all of us to get up and move around during the day, in addition to the exercise we're getting. A great study came out with pregnant women and vitamin supplementation lately. And many pregnant women know that they're supposed to take folic acid supplement, but they don't exactly know why. Well, a new study confirmed the absolute benefit of vitamin known as folic acid, showing that it saves 1,300 babies every year from serious birth defects of the brain and spine known as neural tube defects. Since folic acid fortification went into effect in 1998, the percentage of babies born with neural tube defects declined by 35%, according to the CDC. Now, there's still about 3,000 pregnancies in the U.S. affected by neural tube defects annually. And the March of Dimes says that even with fortified grain products, many women still may not be getting enough folic acid. So they urge all women to take vitamins containing folic acid. But the reality is that only about a third of the women do. What I tell my patients is that I tell all women capable of having a baby that they should take a multivitamin containing folic acid every day. And that's because most women don't even know that they're pregnant in the first 8 to 12 weeks. And those first 8 to 12 weeks of pregnancy are the most important time for the development of that spinal cord. So take it even before you have a chance of being pregnant, so that if you do become pregnant, you already have high levels in your system. Now, women who've had a previous pregnancy affected by neural tube defects should take a higher dose, beginning at least 4 weeks before becoming pregnant and through the first trimester. Moving on to another vitamin, but this case as relates to colon cancer. That's a study showed that higher levels of vitamin D have been associated with a reduced risk of colon cancer in many observational studies. A new analysis has found a possible reason. And that's because a study showed that high levels of vitamin D can be helpful for your immune system. The study published in the journal Gut showed that higher blood levels of vitamin D led to less incidence of colorectal tumors or colon cancer. Vitamin D, the authors suggest, interacts with your immune system to prevent the growth of this type of malignancy. Senior author from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston said, "The study really shows that vitamin D has an effect on immunity, and it's the first study to show that in the human population. Vitamin D boosts immunity not just in cancer, but in fighting infections as well." And now moving on to a new study, and that is about a 12-hour window for eating. Now, I really like this study because I like studies that give us actionable info that we can take along with us and do something with. And this is a new study shows that mice prevented from eating just any time they want may be able to avoid obesity and metabolic problems even if their diet was sometimes unhealthy. So researchers at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in San Diego began experimenting with the eating patterns of laboratory mice. Some mice consumed high-fat food whenever they wanted around the clock. Others had the same diet. Now remember, they still had the high-fat diet, but they only ate during an 8-hour window. And none of these mice exercised, so the study was research was literally based on diet alone. The mice that ate at all hours soon grew chubby and unwell, and some even had symptoms of diabetes. But the mice on the 8-hour schedule gained very little weight and developed no metabolic problems. In another study, the Salk scientists fed adult mice one of four diets: high fat, high fructose, or high fat and high sucrose. Some of the mice in each group were allowed to eat whatever they wanted. Others were restricted to feeding periods. Again, the caloric intake for all was the same. By the end, the mice eating at all hours were obese and ill, but those mice that ate within a 9 or 12-hour window remained sleek, even if they cheated occasionally. What's more, the mice that were switched out of an eating anytime schedule lost some of the weight that they had gained when they were put in more of a restrictive window. Now, precisely how a time-based eating pattern staves off weight gain is not fully understood, but the scientists believe that the time at which food is eaten can influence our body's internal clock. Of course, when you eat late at night, you're also more likely to take in extra empty calories, so that could hinder weight loss. Now, to date, studies have only been conducted in mice, but researchers think that the same may apply to humans. Bottom line is, if you're struggling with some weight loss, consider containing your eating to 12 hours a day or less. Moving on, along the lines of eating, but eating in recess, and that was a study that was performed at multiple elementary schools in Utah, and they were looking at how you can get children to eat more healthy foods. They found that getting children to eat more of the healthy fruits and vegetables might be as simple as scheduling lunchtime for after recess instead of before. Now, these researchers were at Brigham Young University and Cornell University, and they found that students who had recess before lunch had a 54% increase in their fruit and vegetable consumption and a 45% increase in the number of students eating at least one serving of fruits and vegetables. For other students that didn't have that, the fruit and vegetable consumption declined over the same period. The authors thought that possibly when recess followed lunch, students tend to rush through eating because they want to get to playtime. They also may have less of an appetite to begin with, making them more likely to discard fruits and vegetables in their lunches. So they suggested just switching the order of lunch and recess to help them work up an appetite and remove that time pressure while they're eating. You get less food waste, and you get a better setup for students to eat healthily throughout the day, not to mention the long-term benefits of getting their fruits and their veggies. Lastly, anybody have trouble getting up early in the morning for that early morning meeting? You're not alone, and it's possible that about 1 in 750 adults in the U.S. may suffer from what's called delayed sleep phase syndrome. It's a condition that causes them to be somewhat nocturnal. It essentially means that your body's internal clock is set differently, and that's your circadian rhythm. And they find that their body may struggle with a clock that's set about 2 hours later or slower than most others, making it harder to go to bed at night at regular times and even harder to get up early in the morning. There's no known cure, but research does suggest that having flexible work hours may make you more productive and likely to stay at your company where you're happier. So perhaps modifying your schedule instead of fighting your body could be the best method. And there you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you stay well.